It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 106 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And we have just returned from the regional tournament this past weekend at Sparta Games in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, we are in the middle of a blizzard here in Minnesota, but thankfully the snow held back long enough so we could have a nice, safe, easy drive back from Omaha, where we had a really fun experience playing at this regional championship.
It was a great, well-run tournament. We had a lot of fun and did pretty well, so that always helps too.
And our podcast now has a brand new arch nemesis, so we're going to talk about all of this in today's episode.
Well, let's not delay and get right to it.
So this past weekend on March 3rd, we were playing at the 2018 Nebraska Regional Championships in Omaha, Nebraska at Sparta Games,
where we game.
This tournament had 96 players and 16 store champions using their first round buys.
Yeah, so that meant we had six rounds of Swiss with a cut to the top 16.
And this whole tournament played out in a single day, so it ended up being a pretty long day. Registration started at 9 a.m., game started around 10 a.m. We played for a good 12 hours to get through Swiss there, and the final matches after all of the top 16 wrapped up around a little after 3 a.m. So a very long day, especially for our new Nebraska regional champion, Wade Stover.
Big congrats to Wade Stover. No easy feat, especially when you're pushing 17 hours of X-Wing.
Yeah, huge congratulations to Wade for winning this tournament. We did want to give some shout-outs right off the bat because this was a very well-run tournament. The guys over at Sparta were doing a fantastic job. We have to give a big shout-out to our tournament organizer, Patrick McDonald. I played Patrick at the Fargo Regional, and I played him a couple years ago at the System Open. He's an awesome guy, and he ran a really smooth tournament.
We had Leighton Ish, who was our marshal for the event, and did a great job.
And they were running two concurrent live streams the whole day, so shout out to the two live streamers running those streams, Phil Schaefer and Greg Brown.
Also, shout out to Keith and Chris, who just helped keep the event running smoothly throughout the day.
And finally, actually, we got to do a shout out to the guys providing the food over at Taqueria Chango. We got some really good tacos at the end of the day, which really helped get through that really long tournament day.
Yeah, Sparta Games did a great job making sure everyone was well-fed and hydrated, which, when you have those really long one-day events, is super important. You got to take care of yourself so that you can, you know, make those tough calls during the game. A lot of those games, you know, you can't even make one mistake or your opponent will take that advantage away from you. And part of that is, you know, making sure you're well-fed and hydrated so you can be performing at your peak levels.
Yeah, overall, this was a really enjoyable tournament, so a huge shout-out to everyone working over at Sparta to make such an awesome event. They are hosting a Campaign Against Cancer event, so if you're in that area or, you know, a couple hours out, be sure to check them out. The Campaign Against Cancer events are running on April 7th, so you can check that out on the Twin Sons Charities website if you're interested. But if you're in the Omaha, Nebraska area, be sure to check out this game store. It was awesome.
And if you're in the Minnesota region, be sure to check out Fantasy Flight's Campaign Against Cancer, also on April 7th.
All right, so let's get down into the nitty-gritty of this tournament. Obviously, we have a new regional champion, Wade Stover. Congratulations to Wade again. Carson and I also both did pretty well at this tournament. I finished out in the top 8. Carson finished out in the top 4, barely missing out on that final table. But before we get too far into the specifics of the games, we wanted to start by looking at our preparation for this tournament.
Yeah, we've been at attendance at a few regionals before this. You know, it's towards the end of the regional season, so we have a pretty good idea of what the meta game was looking like and what to expect. The meta has shifted, of course, because we had a FAQ update halfway through the regional season, but we felt like we had a pretty good read on how it's evolved.
So I think we should start by talking about our list decisions here. Knowing what we knew about the metagame going into this tournament, we both made some decisions here about what we were going to fly. So Carson, let's start off with you. Tell me a little bit about what you were expecting to see in the metagame and how your list was prepared for that.
Well, in the big card I was looking out for was Expertise. Now, this is particularly good against those ghostless using Sensor Jammer. Kind of completely negates the effect of Sensor Jammer if you always have a focus on offense. And so a lot of players, and very smartly, were choosing to use Expertise, putting it on a lot of ships, particularly Quick Draw, but a lot of other ships, you know, where can we fit Expertise in? Observing this trend, I decided first that I really wanted to pick a list that had some sort of stress effect, which can turn off expertise, because expertise reads, if you are not stressed when attacking, you can turn all of your focus results into hit results. And those first few words are very important if you have some stress control in your list. So with expertise in mind, I considered two options. Of course, one being Asajj, who is kind of the premier stress control, my personal favorite. Just getting it for free with her pilot ability on a really solid defense platform.
Yeah, we've seen the value of Asajj proven time and time again. It is, I think, quite clearly the best scum and villainy ship available right now.
By far.
By far.
There's a real wide margin between Asajj and the rest of the scum faction.
Well, and just her having that native pilot ability of when a ship's inside your mobile firing arc at range 1 to 2 at the start of combat, you can assign a stress to them, gives you so much flexibility there. And that's a pretty wide target. Like, you can move in pretty quick with those fast 5 straight and 3 bank maneuvers.
Right. It's pretty hard to avoid. And that start of combat trigger, that's really important, because a lot of those expertise ships, you know, quick draws at pilot skill 9, raise at pilot skill 8. If you're not shooting early to deal out that stress on your attack, you're not really going to effectively turn off expertise in a meaningful way.
Yeah, a lot of those stress droid carriers, the R3A2 carrying ships, where when you attack, you can receive a stress to assign a stress to the defender. Those are firing often at lower pilot skills. I think the most common one we're seeing is Ezra and the Sheetabede. So if the expertise ship is firing at a higher pilot skill, you're not turning that off that ability when it's relevant.
Right, so Asajj handing out that stress token at the start of combat turns off expertise before they get to shoot, as long as I get them in the right range. The other stress control I did look at was that snapshot Ezra Bridger in the Sheetabede with R3A2, because that snapshot trigger also can turn off expertise before combat. A little harder to pull off on that first round of combat, but it's possible. And then you also have with that a threat of Lorik with Tactician. And then I was looking at Miranda there to finish off that list. I didn't quite get enough practice games in, particularly against the ghost builds with that list. I wasn't quite sure exactly how that matchup would go. So I did opt to stick with Asajj and actually ended up running the exact same list I ran at Fargo, which was Asajj and Ketsu. So Asajj had Lone Wolf, Latsrazi Crew, Glitter Stim, and Countermeasures. And then Ketsu Ono had Crackshot, Shadowcaster Title, Dengar Crew, Glitter Stim, and Countermeasures.
So you've got the Countermeasures there to deal with those target locks, and that helps you prevent those heavy harpoon missile shots, since you're able to discard that Countermeasures at the start of combat to drop those target locks.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of those harpoon-dealing ships are moving after me, and so this is my way to react to those heavy Alpha Strike lists, as well as using those Glitter Stims to also boost defense and offense.
Well, and seeing this list in action, it is really hard to put damage through on either of these ships. They're able to take those evades natively, which is a huge benefit there. You've got Latsrazi on your Asajj. She can remove stress to add evades. It is just really hard to push damage through on these ships.
Right. I mean, I wasn't 100% happy with Ketsu as Asajj's partner. There's just not another ship quite on the power level to pair with Asajj since the Itani nerf. But Ketsu might be just your best option. Being the same chassis does give you quite a bit of advantages. Just the maneuver dial is the same, so you can keep pace. And actually, threatening both of those mobile arcs as kind of no-fly zones, either that stress from Asajj's mobile or dealing out a tractor beam with the Shadowcaster title on Ketsu, does create quite a wide no-fly zone for your opponent. So they do complement each other nicely there. Ketsu does a little bit more offense. Asajj has a bit more defense.
Well, and clearly this list worked out pretty well for you. You went undefeated in all 6 rounds of Swiss. You had the second highest MOV, and the list carried you through to your top 4 match.
Yeah, shout out to Dutch Cuthbert, who did beat me in MOV there.
Yeah, with a crazy 1,100 MOV. That was pretty awesome. Good job, Dutch.
Yeah, so I was boring and stuck with my trusty Asajj, but you changed your list up a bit more.
A little bit. I still had Quick Draw in there and an Alpha Class Starwing. I just shook up some of the variables here. Coming out of Fargo, I had a pretty good run with Quick Draw and 2 Rogue Squadron Alpha Class Starwings. Those guys both rocking heavy laser cannon and crack shot and some other equipment. But I shook it up quite a bit here. I dropped one of the heavy laser cannon Starwings and put the Inquisitor in there in its place. I dropped the other Rogue Squadron down to a new squadron and gave it a Harpoon missile. And then I upped the point total on quick draw. So the list I ended up with was a 43-point quick draw with Expertise, Special Ops Training, Fire Control System, Advanced Optics, Lightweight Frame, and Harpoon missiles. The Inquisitor coming in at 34 points with the TIE V1 title, Push the Limit, Auto Thrusters, and Proton Rockets, as well as a new squadron pilot at 22 points with Harpoon missiles and long-range scanners. So a pretty big point jump here from my Fargo list. The quick draw I was running there came out to 36 points. I had Veteran Instincts there instead of Expertise, and I wasn't able to load out Ake missile on there. And as much as I enjoyed the heavy laser cannon Rose, I was having a little bit of trouble going up against Fen Ghostless, which was a big concern for me going into this match. Quick draw is a great ship. If you can get multiple shots off, the ability to get an extra shot each round the first time you lose a shield is awesome, but it does suffer quite a bit to twin laser turret shots, especially the four total twin laser turret shots it's going to take from a ghost.
Well, and those heavy laser cannon Starwings are really good at damage output, but they are more expensive. And their survivability is not any better than the cheaper missile versions. So when one of those goes down, you're a lot farther behind in the game than you are if you lose a missile Starwing.
Yeah, and with this new squadron coming in at 22, that's a whole 10 points cheaper than the heavy laser cannon version. So even if my opponent does target the new squadron, which happened in a couple of my games where I won, but that was the only ship I lost, it's still not a huge loss for me, especially if I'm able to get that missile off. But my big concern looking at those Fen Ghost lists is really that pilot skill 11 Fen Rao in the Sheathipede with the Hotshot Co-Pilot crew card, where if it shoots me, I'm forced to spend my focus token no matter what, and if I shoot it, I'm forced to spend my focus token no matter what. This really causes problems for a lot of ships carrying advanced optics. So even though my quick draw is able to hang on to that focus token, Fen Rao is going to shoot before my quick draw, who's now down to pilot skill 9 since I swapped out Veteran Instincts for Expertise, and strip that token away. So adding in Expertise here on quick draw meant I had not only good offensive modification against a ghost with its sensor jammer, I was also able to have that persistent across both of quick draw's shots if I lost any shields in a round. And this paid off in a big way. I did only face off against one Fen Ghost, but this is where my tech really came in, and it helped me out a lot. I also had the Inquisitor in there, and I opted to pay the extra 3 points to get Proton Rockets on there, because that is really good against Ghost and pretty much any ship that you can catch inside arc at range one. But being able to just push out 5 damage really quickly made the Inquisitor extra valuable. And weirdly, so one thing that ended up benefiting me that I was not expecting is that my list comes out to 99 points. And there were actually a lot of cases where I had pilot skill overlap either at pilot skill 9 with quick draw or the Inquisitor at pilot skill 8 facing off against Miranda Dani or pilot skill 8 Poe. And having that 1 point bid allowed me to pass initiative to my opponent, which meant that I could be way more reactive with my ships.
Right. And this version, even though it's like a lot of the same ships, is a lot more defensive than you've usually been running your list. I mean, the Inquisitor, very defensive ship. And then that Expertise and Advanced Optics quick draw means you're always usually having a focus and it's only being used for defense.
Right. So, yeah, the benefit is really twofold. So not only am I getting Expertise modification, I'm getting basically a focus token modification on all my attacks, and I'm keeping that focus for defense. And then when I'm fortunate enough not to have to spend it on defense, Advanced Optics lets me hold on to it for the next round, which means really that I can just take a lot more barrel rolls with quick draw.
And I would say that defense really paid off. I mean, you did only go 5-1. But you did have the highest MOV of the 5-1s.
Yeah, by a pretty strong margin. Really what hit me hard was my one loss was a table loss, so I didn't kill any ships and all my ships were destroyed.
Yeah, you should just not do that.
Thanks. I'll take that into account for the next tournament.
Yeah, you should fly Asajj. She never died.
Okay, so we talked about our preparation here, the list we're bringing. I think we should talk a little bit about how that came into play throughout the day. Let's first look at kind of our overall vibes on the metagame here, because it was not exactly what either of us expected, I think.
I mean, I did play against 5 lists with Expertise, so it was a little bit what I expected, but there was a big noticeable absence in those ghost builds. There's a lot of the tech against the ghosts there, but there were not that many Fen Rao and ghost builds. And then I think as a secondary, because there were so many people teching for the ghosts and not that many ghosts, they also generally did not do as well as expected. And oh boy, were there a lot of Imperial players.
Yeah. Well, Expertise Quick Draw seemed like a pretty strong choice, so we saw a fair number of those. And Expertise, honestly, even though there weren't a lot of Fen Ghost builds there, it's still a strong choice. Obviously, that persistent modification on offense is great as long as you're not stressed.
Well, and also the Inquisitor, particularly the Inquisitor backed up by Emperor Palpatine, is a very good way to survive four twin laser turret shots a turn, or perhaps harpoon missile shots. I personally played against four Inquisitors backed up by Emperor Palpatine that day.
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly Quick Draw and the Inquisitor, both strong choices. We saw a lot of Alpha-class Starwings out there as well, different combinations, a lot of them running that super efficient harpoon missile, a lot of them running cannons. And obviously the Lambda-class shuttle is still the best avenue to carry Emperor Palpatine, so we saw a lot of those out there backing up these Imperial ships. But there was also a ton of Rebel lists here. Sheathipedes and Lorix really showing up in force here to boost that Rebel synergy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Rebels have so many great options to choose from right now. Of course, you know, any Ghost and Fen Rau is a great list. Either Fen Rau or Ezra Bridger and Sheathipedes supporting whatever small base Rebels you want. Or even, you know, a Rey, or you have those great regen options. Miranda Donnie, of course, Poe Dameron, Nora Wexley, all really strong choices.
And for the most point, all well represented in the top 16 cut there. I think we saw multiples of most of those ships showing up.
Yeah, and one Rebel trend that we've been seeing a lot more of lately, definitely here, is the use of C-3PO across a lot of different Rebel ships. Great on Miranda Donnie with that one agility regen platform. Great on Nora Wexley for kind of the same reasons. Also not a bad choice on Rey, which is so many hit points. Or even on Lorik, who's usually the primary target because he protects everyone else, so you might as well try and chew through Lorik, but it's a lot harder when there's a C-3PO on there.
Yeah, C-3PO is not great against twin laser turret shots, but when you're running a Rebel synergy list like that, it's really about reducing damage over time and outlasting your opponent, and C-3PO is great at doing that, where you just get that persistent free evade each round. If you're guessing zero on the result, you guarantee an evade result. And that, in combination with other focus tokens or evade tokens, makes your ships really hard to hit.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at MetaWing, which is a website that compiles all the results from List Juggler, where most tournaments are uploaded to, C-3PO is the number one upgrade card right now. And there's a bunch of Rebel upgrade cards doing very well. I'm going to point out that the top scum upgrade card, which is my dear Glitter Stim, is ranked 54th. That should be a good example of how the scum faction's doing. Now, yes, you may look and say, but Carson, Maul and Genius are ranked higher than Glitter Stim. Well, sure, but their primary use is on Rebel ships. Maul being used on the Ghost with Ezra, and Genius being used on Rebel Nim, who partners great with Miranda Donnie carrying Sabine.
Yeah, so clearly a big divide there. Scum's taken a pretty big hit recently in terms of its effectiveness. Really, I think the Atani Mind Link nerf was a huge detriment to that faction. And we're not getting any new Scum ships that we know of in the next wave.
Yeah, and I think I'm also kind of skewing the Scum data. I mean, at the three regionals I've been to, I've run 10 copies of Glitter Stim. So that's probably weighted it a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure it's mostly attributed to you. You're not the you're the only one running that version of Asajj with two Glitter Stims, I'm sure.
I actually think I might mix it up. I don't know if that's the best Asajj, actually.
Well, we've still got a few weeks here for you to practice it out before we have to go to the Hoth System Open in Chicago. So you've got some time to test the waters here and see what the best combo is.
That's true. We'll see what Asajj I fly there.
Now, without getting into too much detail, I think we should talk a little bit about some of our more significant matches throughout the day, whether that be in Swiss or our cut matches. What were some of the notable ones for you, Carson, where you felt like your preparation either did pay off or didn't pay off?
Oh, I'd say all my games against the Inquisitor really paid off. Both Asajj and Ketsu are great to play against the Inquisitor with. That stress threat from Asajj can really mess up the Inquisitor's push-the-limit options. And the Inquisitor really doesn't like being tractor beamed onto rocks either. I would say I had a lot of Imperial matchups, and the card I was most happy I equipped, which is something most people aren't running on Ketsu, is that crack shot in the Elite Pilot talent slot. a lot of people either trying to run Push the Limit or Expertise or even Veteran Instincts to get up to 9. I think Veteran Instincts is kind of a waste. Usually against those Imperials, you're not really repositioning. You're going to want to take an evade action. And with the Dengar crew, you have a decent enough damage output that you don't really need Expertise. And also you have those Glitter Sims for that as well. What the list lacks, though, is the spike damage to force through a Ketsu trigger. And Crackshot is just really good at guaranteeing that when you need it.
Yeah, for me, the overall payoff was really on that Expertise on Quick Draw. Since a lot of people were expecting to see more Fen Ghosts, a lot of people were running Quick Draw, which actually meant that the general pilot skill lowered a little bit. So we were seeing a lot of pilot skill 11s in the previous couple weeks. And now that people are preparing for that, they're using that elite pilot talent for something else, often for an Expertise. So that meant my pilot skill 9 in most cases was just fine for Quick Draw. And having that persistent modification on offense meant that since I already have a focus token from Advanced Optics and I'm going to get focus modification on my attacks, I could often get first engagement target lock, so I get heavy modification on my quick draw shots. And that really paid off, both getting the offense there and then having that focus token on defense. This came up in a lot of my games. I really had some of my limits tested, though, a couple times here. My first game of the day, I had to face off against a Thweak, a Delano Barros, and a Polyp Gadalhi in the first matchup with an aggressive bid. So that mean that Thweak got behind me, and Delano was laying down a bunch of damage with that Bullseye Firing Arc. I barely eked out a victory there, so that was a pretty tough match to start the day. I got to face off against Richard White from the Scum and Villainy podcast in my second round. That was a pretty interesting game there. He had a lot of pilot skill 2, ordnance, and cannon heavy hitters there. So thankfully, Inquisitor paid off there in a big way. Yeah, a lot of fun games, though.
Yeah, that was a big win there, because currently we're 1-1 with Scum and Villainy, but now we're 2-1, so clearly doing a lot better than Scum and Villainy in our head-to-head matchups.
Well, and I'm proud of that, too, because I'm responsible for the 2 there, Carson. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Sozin got me.
My one loss in Swiss was against the top 4 finisher, Eamon Bond, who was running a regen list with Ezra, Poe Dameron, and Miranda Donnie, and I could just not push enough damage through that game turned on me hard. So he got a full win against me. I didn't kill a ship in that matchup. But I think probably the most interesting game I had was my top 16 matchup against Richard Sue. Richard was running a Push the Limit Nora, which had C-3PO. He had a Lorik with a really interesting combination of the Rey crew and the Jan Ors crew, along with a hotshot co-pilot Fen Rao at pilot skill 11 with Veteran Instincts. And I got to talk for a minute about that Lorik with Rey and Jan Ors. That thing is crazy hard to put damage through on.
But Tim, he only gets one action a turn, so he can either reinforce or evade.
Oh, but this synergy is crazy good here. So obviously we know Lorik's ability. Lorik can spend that reinforce token to add an evade to a ship at range 1. So that's really good defense there. My initial goal was to kill that Fen Rao because I knew that was going to mess me up over time. So I took that down, but that makes it really hard to decide here which ship to target. Nora's got R2-D2, so there's regeneration there and still hard to push damage through on. And this Lorik with Rey and Jan Ors was crazy. So Lorik had a stockpile of focus tokens thanks to the Rey crew. And then at the start of combat, whenever Lorik was assigning a focus token with Jan Ors, he had the option to change that into an evade token. So what that meant was often I was shooting through a reinforced Lorik with an evade token. So he's getting at least 2 evades a turn with the reinforced giving him evade and the evade token giving him an evade. And he's still got a defense die. So if he rolls a natural evade, that also reduces the damage by a lot. And this is persistent. So he can basically do this every round for the 3 or 4 focus tokens he had stockpiled on Rey. And what this meant was there were a couple instances where I got range 1 shots with quick draw, generated 4 hit results, and ended up doing 1 damage. And that's just crippling there with that Push the Limit Nora Wexley, just laying out persistent damage against quick draw. And this game ended up crazy close. I was down to just my quick draw versus that Lorik and Push the Limit Nora. I focused in on that Lorik because I figured, okay, if I can kill Lorik, I can win out on points.
Right, here's where your really expensive quick draw paid off.
Yeah, the Nora came in at 41 points, and my quick draw came in at 43, plus I had the 1-point bid. So it was effectively holding on to 44 points worth of MOV there. But that game was still intense. It came down to when we hit time, Richard had 1 last shot with Nora, generated a hit and a crit result against my 2-hole quick draw. I evaded 1, the crit goes through, and I've never been happier to see a blinded pilot in my entire life.
Yeah, direct ends you there.
So thankfully, beat out Richard in a close game there. We were talking about it, how amazing that game was. Like, just this weird battle of keeping things in arc and getting persistent shots out. Yeah, it was a really fun game. Shout out to Richard Hsu for playing it very well there. He crushed my Inquisitor early on, so I really had to struggle there to try and stay afloat.
Right, and he had pretty interesting innovation on the Lorik Sheathipede regen platform list. Having that double evade Lorik, that Lorik's usually the first target, and having that double evade Lorik really does mess up a player's target priorities.
Yeah, so huge shout out to Richard. He played really well, and here in that spot in the top 16.
I did get the pleasure of playing the same opponent twice. I played Matt Newt at round 6 of Swiss when we were both undefeated, and then also got to play him again at the top 8 match. He was flying Lorik, Ezra, Captain Rex, and Jess Pava.
Yeah, really cool Rebel synergy list.
Yeah, it's pretty great against the field. It does really well against the Ghosts, and the kind of stress control, damage mitigation is pretty good against a lot of the Imperial lists, too. Really did not want to be paired up against Ketsuono, who had now pilot skill advantage, and really got to leverage the advantage of tractor beams there against those small base ships with low agility. So not the matchup he wanted there, but in general, it's a pretty great list, and he flew it pretty well.
So the last game we're going to talk about here for each of us was against the same opponent, our new Radio TCX arch nemesis, Doug Howe.
And we say that in the most endearing way because Doug is one of the nicest opponents you'll ever have. But you don't want to play against him because he is wicked good at X-Wing.
Crazy good with that Kylo Ren TIE silencer, too. Doug was running Darth Vader in the TIE Advance with TIE X-1 title, Veteran Instincts, Engine Upgrade, Advanced Targeting Computer, and Cruise Missiles. Kylo Ren in the TIE Silencer with Push the Limit, First Order Vanguard title, Advanced Optics, Advanced Sensors, and Auto Thrusters, and a single Academy pilot, which I can proudly say I totally annihilated. I played Doug in the top 8 match. It was on the live stream there, and he thoroughly crushed me. He's got a perfect setup against my list. Quickdraw has a hard time with strong ace play. He has a pilot skill 9 and a pilot skill 11 and a very aggressive bid, so he got to control initiative there, giving initiative to me. That meant that TIE Silencer with Push the Limit and Advanced Sensors could be so reactive to whatever I do, doing those Advanced Sensors boost or barrel rolls to get into the perfect position, deny me shots, and just shred my ships apart. So thoroughly beaten by Doug there. And I was actually really impressed because Advanced Sensors Push the Limit ships like Kylo are actually really hard to fly. And he had already played 7 games at that point. So to be able to consistently play that ship without making any errors was super impressive.
Right. And then so you lost to Doug, which meant I had to play him in the top 4 match on the stream. And this was a pretty interesting matchup because he has really fast ships, Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, pretty wide open dials, 2 actions each a turn, very reactive. But I have 2 ships that are almost impossible to approach, huge no-fly zones for both those ships. And so this was a really great game of X-Wing, kind of a lot of cat and mouse, and Doug did an excellent job at avoiding both of my 180 firing arcs for, 75 minutes. I did also obliterate his Academy pilot, but I think that was the mistake that cost me the game because I just wanted to start taking ships off the board, and I did spend my crack shot, which was a huge mistake because that meant I just didn't quite have the damage output to finish off his ace ships. His Darth Vader walked away with 1 hull, and Ketsu had multiple opportunities to push through 1 damage with a crack shot there that would have ended Vader. So I ended up losing that game at time. He had half on Ketsu, and I had only destroyed a 12-point TIE fighter. It was a crazy game. We circled the asteroids probably 3 or 4 times. Yeah, so really well flown by Doug. He's beaten me before at big events, too, so that felt great.
So huge shout out to Doug. You are our arch nemesis now, but it was really awesome to play against you. Doug's a super cool guy. So it was a really cool experience there. Even though I was getting destroyed, he was a very, very enjoyable opponent to play against.
But then he goes on to lose.
Well, second place at a regional this big is pretty impressive, too. So I'll give him that.
I know. I only want to lose to the champion, though.
The champion, of course, was Wade Stover there. Wade was flying Rey in the YT-1300 with the old Millennium Falcon title, the one that gives you the evade action, Expertise, Engine Upgrade, C-3PO, and Finn, along with Ezra Bridger in the Sheetha Peach shuttle with Snapshot, R3A2, and Harrison Dola, along with the Rebel TIE fighter Captain Rex.
Yeah, pretty cool list. I'd been messing around with Rey builds and just couldn't quite figure it out. But that C-3PO and engine upgrade on there, I really like. Pair that with, you know, Captain Rex's added defense bonus, plus the stress control from Ezra. Really versatile list.
Great list, and Wade flew it well enough to beat out Doug Howe at the final table and become the new Nebraska regional champion. So congrats, Wade. Congrats, Doug. Congrats, Carson. And congrats to all of our top 16 finishers here. It was a really great tournament, a fun day of X-Wing. I had a really great time, and I'm actually looking forward to, if I can, going to the regional in Nebraska next year. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page. And while you're there, go ahead and leave a review on Facebook. We appreciate all those 5-star reviews we've been getting. Really helps us grow to the show and lets people know that you like our show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review. Those reviews mean a lot. You can leave a comment there saying what you like about the podcast. This helps us reach a wider audience and lets other prospective X-Wing players know that this is a great place to start for their podcast listening.
This week, we're going to give a shout out to Ames512, who left a 5-star review saying that the podcast was short and to the point and to keep up the great work.
Thanks, Ames, and a huge thank you to everyone who's left a review. We really do appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tim, I'm sorry, I couldn't avenge you.
We'll get our vengeance soon.